Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and family, welcome. This is Tim the Overseer. Hopefully everyone is doing fine today. Hopefully life finds you in a good place. We are praying for everyone out in this world. It's good to be back on the air. It is good to be in the land of the living. It is great to be before you, bringing the message from the Most High God. Welcome, welcome, welcome. And it's good to be back. Amen. Amen. Again, hopefully everyone is doing good. Hopefully everyone had a blessed and wonderful week. Amen. Despite whatever your challenges may be, God is always good. Amen. Amen. The old school saints say God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. And that is so true. God is a good, wonderful, and gracious God. Amen. I'm thankful for my life. Thankful for my salvation, my eternal salvation, my being born again. I thank the Most High for His grace and His mercy. We thank Him for your salvation as well, amen. We pray that if not all, most of the listeners are saved, amen. If you've been listening to me for a while, amen, I pray and hope that you are saved, amen. We have to continue to teach and preach salvation, amen, and love. And now I have included end-time eschatological teachings into my ministry, amen, because I believe that we are soon, amen, to see our Lord and Savior, amen. I've been noticing some things that have just really been joying my heart, amen. I tell you, for us as believers, man, I tell you, you just can't let this world get to you. Despite what's going on out here in the world, we still find good. Amen. Me and my wife was riding today. Amen. And we passed by this church, and I thought it was so neat to see that they had a sign up. One of those little things, like those little electronic signs. It said, Christ is soon to return. Amen. That joyed my heart. That means that the message is getting passed around. The message is getting through. Now you see more ministries, more people. Even on sometimes when I go onto YouTube, I see more people talking about the return of Christ. This is a good thing. The narrative is changing. The narrative is turning from prosperity and it's about me. It's about you. No, it's not. It's about Christ. It's about our Lord and Savior. It's about the Almighty God. It's about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's what it's about. It's not about me or you. It's about God. It's about the God that we serve. Amen. And we know that's His commandment, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, thy might, and thy soul. Amen. And that's what we are to do, to love God with all of our being. That's what He commands. That's His first and most greatest commandment, is to love Him with all your being. And that's what we are to do as the children of the Most High God. We are to focus, amen, our energy towards serving our God. Amen. And we must serve Him in the Spirit. So, that being said, we're going to continue our study from last week. I got to studying, and I almost forgot. I said, wait a minute. I didn't even finish the last study. I got the date on the paper. I got to look at September 25th. I'm like, wait a minute, that was a week ago. So I got to continue part two. Amen. Hopefully I'll be able to get it done today. If not, it'll end up being a part three to this series. The subject was Word of Truth. Time is up. That was the message. Heaven or hell. That's it. Ain't no in-between. Ain't no, what somebody tell me one time when I was young? Pergamos. Somebody asked, do you believe in something like, something crazy like that? And I said, no, I've never heard of that. And they say, yeah, it's a place where you go after you die that God gives you a second chance to get it right. I said, I've never heard of such a thing. My dad's a pastor. I've never heard it preached or anything. And so that was many years ago. It was over 25 years ago. That's how long ago it was. And still to this day, I hadn't found anywhere in the Bible that supports that theory that when we die, that there's a place that people go, that God actually gives them a second chance. This is your chance. Amen. In fact, I believe this is your only chance. While you're breathing, my dad used to always preach, while you are alive and breathing, there's all, he said, as long as the blood runs through your body and your, and the breath is in your lungs, you have life. As long as you're conscious, you have the opportunity. So to do whatever, if you're looking to be a scientist, a doctor, an athlete, a business owner, a saved, this is your opportunity now. Not when you're dead in the grass. That's why the Bible says, for when night cometh, no man should work or shall work. In other words, there's no works in the grave. This is it. This is our only opportunity, one and only opportunity to get it right while we're here on earth. This is why God is giving you the opportunity. This is why I believe that God permits people to have his, when he has his grace and mercy, he allows people to live longer, to give you that opportunity and chance. And I believe that some people are cut down soon because God knows that if he was to leave them here for 1,000 years, they still would not change their ways. Amen. So with that being said, we're going to go ahead and get into the word. Again, the subject is word of truth. Time is up. What does that mean? Time is up for playing in the church. Time is up for playing. There is no time to play anymore. This is a wake-up call to the church. Amen. We are shaking the church, waking them up, and I'm seeing that people are waking up. Amen. And so that's a blessed thing. That's a good thing. Heaven or hell, you choose. You choose your eternal destiny because irregardless of what all you accomplish in this life, I've seen people that were considered great, but their lifestyle was very questionable. Now, I don't have a heaven or hell to put nobody in, but if you don't attend God's church, or if you don't speak his word, you don't show, if there's just things that you're not doing, there's some questionable things there. Amen. So hopefully the person gets it right before they leave this earth. But we know that most don't because of what the scripture says. Most people will not receive salvation. Most people will go on to have great accolades and a great life on this planet. They'll go to school. They'll go to college. They'll pledge to prestigious organizations. They'll come out and make good money and have a good long life and live. They're known in the community, have friends, and they're part of this organization. They're part of this fraternal or sorority organization. That's all Jim Dandy, but in regards to what you accomplish in this life, the Bible says only what you do for Christ shall last. And what does it gain a man or a woman to what does it profit a man or a woman to gain the whole world and to lose their own soul? That's scripture. Amen. So in regards to all your accolades in this life, all the things that you have accomplished, as great as they may be, and you know, people look at you as a great person, that's fine. But the greatest among these will be those that are chosen to live with God through salvation, meaning that they have chose God. Amen. They have decided to live their life for the Most High God, and that's what's most important. So with that being said, we're going to go here and look into some scriptures. Amen. You know, I was studying the word, and the Holy Spirit hit me today and said, you know what, we're going to change it up a little bit. And what I mean by change it up, instead of talking about hell and the lake of fire, we're going to change it up and talk about heaven. Amen. All glory be to the Most High. The Holy Spirit put it on my heart. Let's talk about heaven. Let's talk about what that's going to be like. Amen. It joined my heart. I said, wow. Thank you, Holy Spirit. So I'm going to go ahead and read the context of love by Paul. Amen. There it is. Open the book and there it is. 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31, into 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, the entire 13th chapter. Let's read what it says, and we're going to have prayer. We're going to move forward. It says, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge and all faith, And though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffered long in this kind. Charity envied not. Charity vaunted not itself. Is not puffed up. Do not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things. Believeth all things. Hopeth all things. Endureth all things. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Amen. Amen. Let me read that scripture again. Verse 8 says, it's a key verse. Charity never faileth. But whether there be prophecies, love never fails. That was strong what Paul said. Love never fails. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. That's something to think about. Love never fails. Love is eternal. Gosh, look at that. Love is for all eternity. See, hate will be destroyed. Hate will end. Love is for all eternity. Love is the key to life. Spiritual love. I'm not talking about this fake stuff that somebody bought you a house and then you love them. I'm not talking about somebody bought you a car, a diamond, a necklace, or they take you out to eat and they spend a bunch of money, or they just taking care of you and spoiling you and you love them for that. That's conditional love. That's based on what they can do for you. I'm talking about unconditional love means that you can do nothing for me. In fact, you can hate me, and I still love you with the love of the Most High God. Amen. That's through the Holy Spirit. I love you anyway. Amen. But watch what it says. Verse 9, moving on. It says, for we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now by the faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Charity meaning love. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for life. We thank you for life itself. We thank you for eternal life, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for your Son, his obedience for restoring mankind, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for giving us eternal life and blessing us with eternal life, dear Heavenly Father, that we may serve and reign up under you for all eternity, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for your grace and your mercy. We thank you for eternal life, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for going to inhabit a beautiful heaven as a home for all eternity, dear Heavenly Father. Again, we thank you for your grace and your mercy, dear Heavenly Father. We thank you for the beautiful gift that lies ahead of us, dear Heavenly Father, for we long to be with you for all eternity and to serve and worship, dear Heavenly Father. We bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Amen. All right. So, starting off on this, I may touch on hell and the lake of fire a little bit. I might not, because I, you know, kind of knows that I do kind of talk about it. I want to talk about heaven. What is heaven going to be like? Well, first of all, the first thing we want to establish is that, is heaven even real? Amen. I'm going to answer that question right off the back. Yes, heaven is real. Reason why I said that, because I had somebody tell me, well, you don't even know if heaven is even real. I said, huh. Well, if we believe in the word of God, then we would come to the conclusion that heaven is real. I would say that. But people talk about hell, then there's got to be a heaven, right? There's got to be an opposite. So I believe that there is a heaven. Amen, because I believe in the word of God. Amen. So I want to read this scripture over in Genesis that talks about, which is Genesis 1st chapter, verse 8. It says, and God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. Now, we know that this is a different part of heaven, right? We know that this is the part of heaven that's really referring to the sky that we see, because he's creating the earth, amen, So we kind of know that part. But if we should go over to Genesis, the first chapter, verse 7. Genesis, the first chapter, verse 1. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And we know that it's talking about the actual housing, the home. Right now, earth is man's home. When he created Adam, he put Adam on earth. And earth was Adam's home. Earth is our home for right now. It's a temporal home, but it is our home. It was supposed to be a permanent home until Adam and Eve sinned against the Most High God. And so that separated us from God. And so, you know, and then it was appointed for man to die. And so because of what Lucifer and the fallen angels have done, then yes, hell was created. That's why it says over in the book of Jude that hell was reserved and made for Lucifer and Satan and his angels. So hell was never meant for us. It was never meant for man. Okay? It was only meant for the devil and his angels. But because when man choose to not make a relationship with the Most High God, then God's got to punish you. God said, okay, well, the unjust has to go somewhere, so there's nowhere else to put them. Where else to put them? Put them in hell. Because that was their choice. And remember, God didn't put you in hell. You put yourself in hell because you have made that choice. Amen. He gives you a choice. That's why I said in the beginning, the title is Time is Up, Heaven or Hell. You make the choice. And so we know that heaven and earth was made, right, in the beginning. That was God's original plan, was just to be heaven and earth. And all things were made for his pleasure. The host of heaven and also the host of earth. Everything that had breath was supposed to do what? That had life, that had a spirit that God had gave it, was supposed to praise his name. Then everything that had breath, praise the Lord. The heavens and the angels in heaven have breath. They have to because they're alive. That's why he said that God made Adam a living soul. So everything that has a soul praises God. The animals on the earth praise God. Amen. So we praise God, okay? So according to the scripture, we know that there's a heaven. We know evidence is that that according to Christ and the scriptures, that God has he's made a way for man, because in the beginning, when everyone passed away and left this life, they went into the earth. Now, when I say into the earth, we don't really know where, quote-unquote, hell is. Some people believe it's in the earth. I believe it's a realm that's in the earth. It's a spiritual realm, so you have to kind of think spiritually. It's a spiritual realm that's down. And so that's why they always refer to it being in the earth. It could be in the bowels of the earth. Some people say it's in the center. Some people say it's not in the center. We don't really know for sure, but we know that it is a realm. Okay, it is a spiritual realm that is considered down, and it has to be down because the Bible says it references as being down, okay? It also referenced the grave, Sheol. So understand, and this is so neat to talk about because you think about the grave and how it referenced Sheol. What is referencing is that the state that a person is in. Let me use that example. So the state that a person is in when they die, when they close their eyes on this life, in this life, we know that, one, when you die, your body typically, supposedly, if something freakish doesn't happen, you have a funeral. Okay, let's just take the average person who passes away. They have a funeral. They go to the funeral home. They prepare the body. They make the groom the body to look good and look nice for the family or whatever, and they put into a casket, and then they go to the graveyard, and what do? In the grave, they are placed in the ground. That's the way it's supposed to be. In ancient times, they would bury people in the side of hills or in mountains and stuff like that. Same thing, still a grave, right? But typically, you would be in a grave. That's called a grave, where the body, where the actual fleshly body lies. Now, the soul itself is separated from the body. That's how we know that the person is what? Deceased. They're dead. They're no longer alive. They're no longer associated. They're no longer animated. okay, meaning that they're not able to move around. They're not lively or alive, right? So there's a separation of the soul from the actual body. The body grows cold. Then you know the person is placed in the ground, okay? And that's the grave. That's the first interpretation of the grave. The casket is in the ground. The body's in the ground, the casket, right? Now, the other interpretation of the grave, or Sheol, amen, which is another term for hell, which is actually not talking about the actual grave that the physical body's in. Now we get into the spiritual side. Now, hopefully that makes sense. I just described to you where the fleshly body is this side, meaning the, what do we call it? The natural, that's what I'm looking for, the natural. So the natural side, when you pass away, the body's here on this earth. Okay, the natural fleshly body goes into the casket, it's in the ground. The soul goes somewhere. Well, it used to be in the Old Testament that everyone went to Sheol, everyone went to hell. Now, understand that again, hell is a rim. Is it in the bowels of the earth? It could be. Is it in the center of the earth? It could be. I don't really know, but we're just speaking. But we do know that it's referenced as down, so it could be. But we know it's a spiritual rim. So, in other words, we're looking at the spiritual side, not the natural side, meaning that doesn't necessarily mean that it's within the center of the earth. It just means that it could be in a spiritual rim down below that's kind of like considered in the earth, just like heaven is what? Above us, right? It's a spiritual realm that we can't see, but it's what? It's always referenced as above, right? So now we have left the natural. Now we're in the spiritual. Now, in the Old Testament time, when I say everyone went to hell, there was two compartments or two sides to hell. It was divided. You had paradise, which was where the saints, the Old Testament saints, went to praise God and serve God and live by the law and had the faith. They went to paradise, okay? And then you have the unbelieving, the wicked, the people who didn't want nothing to do with God, they didn't have faith in God, they definitely didn't live the law. In fact, they were breaking the laws. They went where? They went to Sheol, the part of hell where some people say it's called the damned or the lost. That's where they went, amen? So they went to that part of hell to where the lost went. And that wasn't a good place. And we know that we talked about that last week over in Luke, the 16th chapter, verses 19 through 31. In fact, I actually have that written down in my notes to actually talk about and cover this week, which I'm still trying to consider if I want to cover that because, excuse me, that takes a lot to cover, hey man, because I really wanted to talk about heaven today and not hell. But I had to bring this up into the conversation to get to my point of heaven, okay? But I had to describe that to you because we want people to know that this is real. This is not a joke. I remember I talked to this guy a long time ago, and he said, there is no hell. He said, this is hell here, hell on earth. I'm like, Lord have mercy. You know, when you have conversations about the Bible with people, it is the funniest thing just to hear people's mindset and thought. You know, the enemy, Lucifer, he's been in heaven. He's been to earth. Don't really know if he's been to hell or visited hell. I don't know if he's permitted to go there. But I'm certain that since he is part of the spiritual realm, he's aware of it, okay? And this is why you see these little references in cartoons and movies of places of a heavenly place as well as a place for the damned, meaning those who are lost or soul is lost. That is real. That is a real place, okay? So we should not make light of our lives as we are on this earth while we have the opportunity to show love, spread the gospel, teach salvation, because why? We have the opportunity to save someone, okay? And that is our job. That is our purpose, to win as many souls for Christ to go into heaven Amen. It's possible. So with that being said, I showed you some scriptures and some verses according to the Bible. In fact, you saw heaven, what? In the very first scripture of the Bible. In the beginning, God created what? In fact, what was the first thing that God created? He created heaven and his heavenly host. How beautiful, man. I mean, heaven is going to be so glorious, so beautiful, so, and I have to throw this in there real quick because I want to move on. But I remember, and I know I've told this story before, I remember when we went to Denton, when I first got saved, my wife's cousin invited us to church in Denton, Texas, and we went to visit this church. And what was so mysterious about it is that I had this spiritual vision, this spiritual thought, that the Holy Spirit said, there are colors in heaven. This is how mind-blowing. And am I saying that there are colors in heaven that we can't imagine? I'm simply saying what the Holy Spirit revealed to me, okay? And the thought itself is mind-blowing because I'm not blind. I wear glasses, but I'm not blind. In that sense, I'm not colorblind. I can see colors very well. And when the Holy Spirit hit me in the middle of the week, he said, Tim, there are colors in heaven that you have not even seen. I was just so mind blown. I'm like, wait a minute, what? How is that even possible? I can see red, purple, maroon, yellow, black, green, white, blue, you name them, all kind of colors, brown, orange. How is it even possible that there would be colors that I hadn't even seen? Well, the ideology of that is that heaven is so unimaginable that we couldn't imagine or even think of any other colors. Is that even possible that there could be other colors? That was the purpose of that, was to show me that heaven is so unimaginable. You can't even – heaven is beyond your mind. Who would not want to be a part of that? Who would say, no, I'm going to keep living out here in the world, doing what I'm doing, man, do my thing? My dad used to always preach against, you know, tell us as young men, you know, live your life for Christ. Live your life right. Don't lose your soul. Amen. And so I'm glad that he did what he did in ministry. He did his part in raising us and teaching us right, especially when it came to that, because, you know, you don't want to leave this world. I'm going to tell you right now, and not have it right. You don't want to leave this world lost. And so, anyway, back to the story of visiting that church. Me and my family went to the church with our cousin. And we're sitting down in the church, and right before the pastor gets up to preach, this young minister gets up, and he talks, and he gives a spiel. Won't ever forget this, and I'll tell this story, and I'll probably tell 1,000 more times if I get the opportunity. He stepped in the pulpit, and he said his grandmother told him when he was a child, she said, son, there are colors in heaven that you ain't even seen. I was so blown away by that. This was the same week the Holy Spirit revealed that to me. I'm like, whoa. And I told my wife, that is so mind-blowing that the Holy Spirit shared that same thought with me and this young minister. So that was just confirmation from the Most High God that, in other words, what he basically was saying to me is that heaven is so unimaginable that if it is possible that there are colors that we hadn't seen, the main thought is, the main point is that there are things in heaven that you can't even imagine. You can't even fathom. You can't even think of anything that's in heaven. And there's some more scriptures, some things I want to share with you, but it's been a very long time since I read them, so I don't want to share them until I go back over them and study them again before I even, you know, speak on them, because it's been a long time since the early 2000s since I've even read those scriptures and talked about them, so I won't mention them right now, but I will share them with you soon. But with that being said, I have to share with you what Paul said. Amen. And this is why I said, man, we're getting you ready. And let me say this, because I remember when I used to teach in church and hear people in church, I'm like, where did some of these people be getting some of this stuff? I remember they used to say, oh, you got to get ready for heaven. If you can't do stuff around here, down here on earth, how are you going to be able to walk in heaven and do this and do that? It's not even like that. This is why the Holy Spirit indwells us. This is why the scripture says, when Christ come, we shall be like him. In other words, when Christ come back, Paul said, we're going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye. Your body is going to be changed into perfection. Your mind is going to be changed into perfection. And to serve God in heaven for all eternity will not be grievous. In other words, you won't be to where you be like, man, I've been here for a trillion times, 100 trillion years, and I'm just tired of this. It's not going to be like that. That's the purpose, that's the reason why the Holy Spirit, we're going to be one with God. We'll never get tired of praising God. We'll never get tired of singing praises and enjoying heaven. Whatever he has for us, we will never get tired of it. Amen. And a good example of that is when God created Adam. He didn't command Adam to do anything outlandish. He just told Adam to subdue the earth. That's all he told Adam. Simple, right? And to not touch what? These trees. He told Adam, all this over here is yours, Adam. Now, the earth is huge, especially for one man. I mean, I've traveled, you know, not very far, but I've traveled. I've even been in a plane before, and the earth is gigantic. He said, Adam, you have all this. But he said, these two trees right here, see, God is simple. See, man try to complicate things. God is really simple. See, that's what love is. Love is simple. Hate is complicated. That's why I don't like to hate. Hate is just too, it's just too hard to hate. It's easy to love. He said, watch this. He said, Adam, these two trees, that could have been a million trees, fruit trees or whatever. He said, all this you can have, but Adam, these two trees, don't bother these, Adam. Don't touch these trees. That got it. Thumbs up, God. That's it. And do you know just by being obedient, you're serving God? So I tell people, it's not going to be what you think in heaven. People try to make like, no, you're going to be like carrying this burden. No, absolutely not. Heaven is going to be easy. It is. Why? Because you're going to be a part of him. You're going to have his spirit. You're going to have his spirit in you. You're going to be one with the Holy Spirit. And I showed you that a few weeks ago, how you cannot call God a curse. You can't. It's impossible. Those that have a salvation that are believers, you can't go against God. It's impossible. Amen. I'll show you some scriptures probably later on if I get to before I shut down. But I want to share that mentality and that mindset, because I used to hear that in churches. I used to hear people say, I'm like, why would they say that? Why would they tell people that? You know, and sometimes I hear preachers say that you walk around heaven will be serving God. You enjoying and admiring the beauty of heaven, what God has done, is serving God. When I look up at the sky and the clouds and I admire the beautiful, I say, God, this is beautiful. Do you not know that I'm serving God? Serving God is not hard. Again, love is easy. I love what God has done to the earth. The earth is a beautiful place. People are beautiful. Now, people can be ugly at times, we know that, and hateful, but people are beautiful. The flesh is beautiful. There's nothing bad about the flesh. It's just what people choose to do with the flesh. Flesh is good. It's just what people choose to do. See, again, it's the choices that make things evil. Just like Lucifer. See, his choice is what made him evil. Your choices, that's all it's about. But when you praise God and give him the glory, you just say, Lord, I thank you for another blessed day. You're being rewarded for that. And so when you get to heaven, you get to enjoy heaven. You get to see all the other saints and you conversate and talk. Just your fellowship will be praised. God will be pleased at that. God's going to love the fact that, man, look at my creation with me, serving me, glorifying me, lifting me up, praising and worship me. And you can't help but to praise and worship and give him all the glory. That's what the angels do in Revelation. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was, which is, and which is to come. That's all they do. Because you want to know why? They know he's more than worthy to be praised. Man, look at here. I'd rather do that all day than to go to a job to deal with people. Because as I said, people can be hateful, people can be ugly. I'd rather do that than to be on this earth. That's what I'd rather do. I'd rather praise him. And you definitely want to praise him. You definitely want to do that rather than be in the lake of fire, because that's the only other option. So you have an option, heaven or hell, and I should have put the lake of fire on there. I'm going to add that to my little title on my notes, heaven, hell, and the lake of fire. Heaven or hell and the lake of fire, because hell is going to be placed in the lake of fire. And so in saying that and thinking that, okay, what do you want to spend all eternity? Would you rather be in heaven praising God? Hey, I don't have no problem with that. I had a family member, one of my brothers, he made a joke. It was funny to me. It was just funny to me. He said, I'd rather be there shining God's toenail for all eternity and just make it in than to be in the lake of fire. I said, he's right. He got a point. It was funny at the time, but you know, his point was, Even if I gotta do something that seems like it's the lowest of the low in heaven, I'd rather be there shining his toenail all eternity than to be in the lake of fire. Which he had a point, because a lot of times we don't think like that. You know, people think, "Oh man, I want look, I'd rather be in heaven. I don't care what you're doing, than to be in the lake of fire and torment for all eternity." Heaven is going to be a beautiful place. Let me read to you what Paul said. This is 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, verse 9. 1 Corinthians 2 and 9. Paul wrote, he said, but as it is written. In other words, this is scripture. When you see it says, as it is written, this is scripture. In other words, Paul said, this ain't something that I made up. This is something that I got from somewhere. This is already known. This is part of the Old Testament, probably is what he's saying. Okay? I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. That is so powerful of a verse. Your eye, anything that you've seen on earth, these TVs, anything they show you, space, whatever. I don't care how beautiful you think. I just acknowledge how beautiful the earth is to me. Anything that I've seen on this planet can't compare or touch anything in heaven. Nor the sounds that we've heard. We've heard great music. We've heard great sayings, great things, witnesses, you know, hearing great sounds. And you know, we hear some lovely things being said. But watch this. Nothing that you've heard on this earth. As far as sounds, see, that's almost like the colors. There are sounds, musical sounds in heaven that will blow you away. There are things that we ain't even heard. There are things that's in heaven that can't even compare to the things on earth. That reminded me when I was reading and studying the book of Enoch, when this angel had told Enoch, he said, you know what? The angels that chose to leave heaven and to rebel against God, the things that they took from heaven, the angel told Enoch, he said, that was nothing that they got. The angel said, man, the best that's up here, they didn't even take. There are things that the angels, that the fallen angels took from heaven that they wasn't supposed to take and showed man. The angel told Enoch, he said, man, that ain't nothing. There's some stuff that he couldn't even tell, he couldn't even show Enoch. So heaven is going to be so mind-blowing. The knowledge that's in heaven, that's what I'm talking about, the knowledge. The knowledge that's in heaven, wow, that man desire to know. There are things in heaven that the fallen angels, now that they're gone, that they desire to know. They can't know anymore. They don't have access to it because why? They sinned against God. But guess what? You'll have access to it one day if you choose to live. God, I desire to know the knowledge and wisdom that's in heaven. That's beautiful. Now watch this. The scripture says, neither have entered into the heart of man. That's the mind. That's the heart. There are things that I can think of, and I'm sure everyone that's saved do the best they can to imagine what heaven's going to be like. We think of heaven because we know there's going to be no darkness, but the scripture says over in Revelation, there's going to be no darkness nowhere. There's not going to be shade or shadow nowhere in heaven. It's going to be so lit up and bright. It's going to be like that for all eternity. No darkness nowhere. You won't see a shadow casted. You won't see shade, darkness nowhere. Everything in heaven is going to be so bright, so beautiful, so clear. Nobody hiding, nobody sneaking, nobody dirty, nobody conniving, no evil, wicked things or thoughts. None of that in heaven. Paul said, neither have entered into the hearts of man. Heaven is going to be so immaculate. And, you know, we think of heaven, and we think of heaven as some of these pictures that they've drawn, trying to show an illustration. That's nothing. That's a joke. That is nothing compared to what heaven's going to be like. I try to think of what heaven's going to be like, but I actually think of a futuristic city that's, you know, you see some of these movies, like you try to like, man, what's heaven going to be like? It's going to be like this bad, we can't even imagine. I can't wait. I don't know about you, but I can't wait. People so in love with the houses here. Hey, yeah, I have a nice house. Yeah, I have nice things. God has blessed me over the years. I worked very hard for it, me and my wife. We worked very hard for what we have. But, you know, I still say, man, this is going to be nothing. That's why I feel bad for people who sell their souls. I feel bad for people who are missing out on this. I do. I really feel bad for the people who have lost their souls, and it's too late. You have a chance, an opportunity to choose heaven or hell in the lake of fire. You have a choice right now. I made my choice over 21 years ago, and I'm so glad. And you don't think the work that I've been doing over the past 21 years, that I got gifts and things, I have more stored up in heaven, I guarantee, than what I've earned on this earth in the past almost 50 years I've been on this planet, especially since I've been working for almost the past 25, 30-some years. Well, now I'm about 30-some years. I'm really sure of my age for a very long time. And you think about the people who worked all their life, 40, 50 years. Man, the work that you do for God, let me share this with you. The work that you do in 1 year in ministry will be far more greater than what you have done in your whole entire work life on this earth. That's how good God is. God is simple. Man is complicated. Love is easy. Hate is hard. It's difficult. Man, you just can't imagine what he has for us. The scripture says the things which God has prepared for them that love. If God has prepared something for you, that means he's waiting on you. He wants you. That's like if you prepare a meal. I know sometimes like when my wife is at work and the kids are getting ready to come home, I'm in the kitchen cooking. I'm preparing a meal for them. Basically, I'm like, man, I can't wait till my family come home and eat. I'm preparing a meal for them. It's the same thing with God. God is willing to prepare a place for you. What did Christ say? Christ said it best. Let's see if I can find that scripture where Christ said, I go to prepare a place for you. Let's see if I can find that scripture. I thought I had it written down. I'll find it later. But Christ talks about how he goes to prepare a place for us. Man, that's powerful. So he thinks something of Tim, that he's going to actually go and prepare something for me. What has he got for me? I want to know. Like a kid for the holiday. How will parents do for their kids for the holiday? Don't we prepare stuff? The mom, the dad, man, the mom prepares the food. She prepares a nice Thanksgiving dinner. You don't think them women, as hard as they work, that they say, man, I can't wait for my family. We all sit down and eat. Yes. And what's the family saying? Boy, we can't wait for mama to get through cooking. We can't wait for mama to get through cooking to eat that good holiday meal, right? Same thing with the gifts. The kids can't wait to get their gifts. Mom, dad got something prepared for me. I know mama got something for me under the tree, right? Now I know about the pagan. I know about all that. But I'm just giving you an idea. Like most of us grew up receiving things and believing in the holidays, and we grew up celebrating the holidays. But that was our mindset. We was kids. Even adults still today have that mindset, man, I can't wait to see what I got, right? Well, I can't wait to see what the Most High God got for me. Lord, have mercy. all glory to the Most High God. I can't wait to see what he got for me. So I know it's more than stuff here, because when we buy stuff, it's nice and neat when you first get it. So it's nice. But after years or months go by, it gets old, it gets dingy, it gets dirty, it gets scarred up, rust or whatever, moth eats it up. So I'm telling you, I have to worry about people stealing your stuff. You have to worry about that stuff all the time. You know, you have to put alarms on your house, alarm on your car. You know, it's like, man, you have to make sure this is up, you know, so people won't come in and try to take stuff. You know, that's just how it is here on earth. You have to worry about, is somebody going to come in and take what you have? Somebody going to steal what you got? Is somebody going to ruin what you have? I remember, like, when you get stuff, especially when you was a kid, we were real bad about this when we were kids, right? When you get something nice and neat, you don't want nobody to touch it or nothing like that, like your friends or something, right? You'd be like, man, I ain't sure, and this is my toy. It's my gift. My mom bought this for me. Thank yours, right? We're a little selfish with our stuff. And, oh, man, lo and behold, your friend, you let somebody see and they break it. Oh, my gosh, that was like the worst thing ever. Or if you got something new, like some clothes, and you spill something on it, right? Man, you're going to get a beautiful garment. A bright garment that shines like a star. Those are stars, are huge. There's a lot of gigantic stars in space that are so huge, they're unimaginable. There are stars in space that are bigger than our universe. That is amazing. I'll say it again. There are stars in space that are bigger than our universe, our entire universe. Now, when I say the entire universe, of course, I'm not talking about the entire galaxy. I'm talking about our universe, the universe that we live in currently with our sun. Our sun is like a speck on that star. That's how huge they are. And those stars are so bright that we can see them from light years away. You're going to shine brighter than that. That's how your garment is going to be. You don't have to worry about spilling Kool-Aid or coffee or soda or juice or anything on your garment. If it do, it's not going to do anything to it. Man, you're going to be so immaculate. We're going to get crowns. You know, it's funny because since I've been teaching, I think about those crowns, and I remember those little cartoons when I was a kid, and they used to have these little angels. You know, they used to make little angels. People have a halo over their head. I used to always wonder, well, why do they have a gold halo? Well, they got that from the Bible, because the Bible says that you're going to have crowns. We're going to actually have crowns over our head. And it makes me wonder if the crown's going to actually be placed on our heads or hover over our head. It's going to be so neat to be in heaven. You're going to have crowns on your head. Those crowns are going to be so beautiful. Man, I can't wait. You're going to get a brand new body. Man, God's going to hook us up. Let's just go on and be real with it. God's going to hook you up. We getting the hook up. When that horn blow, we are getting the hook up. Man, you'll get a new body. If you're bald, you got hair. If you're gray, you don't worry about it. You're going to have brown, black, whatever your hair color was. You know, if you got wrinkles, no more wrinkles. If you got fat, no more fat. If you got stretch marks, no more stretch marks. Whatever blemishes you have, because why? Death has caused these things to happen to us. Death causes us to age. And death has caused us to die slowly. That's what we mean by age, because we'll age in heaven for all eternity, but there's no more time, so it won't matter about us aging. Your body will never get old. Your body will stay young and beautiful for all eternity. Lord, have mercy. Who would want to miss this chance? Man, get your tickets. They are free. Like my dad used to say, get on the glory bound train. They are free. Man, we giving them away. Man, we signing them up. Come on, man. Come on this side. We winning big on this side. You're not going to lose. You won't be disappointed. I always say, man, I wish I had became a saint when I was a teenager. I always wished I had listened to my dad. My dad was good about that. He was good about trying to get his, and he did his job. Amen. All glory to the Most High God. He did his job. The Bible says train up a child. See, if most folks get in the church like they're supposed to, and get some rightly divided word and teach their kids, you wouldn't have all this mess going on in the world. But because ain't nobody teaching nobody, nobody training no more. They don't even teach kids how morals anymore. They let them just grow like weeds. They just let them grow on their own. They don't pay them no attention. They let the TV raise them or the radio or the music raise them or the people at school raise them. That's the worst thing you can do, and let somebody raise your child, not cultivate your kid. Don't miss out on this opportunity. I would miss this, as they say, I would miss this for the world. Amen. You can miss it. I ain't going to miss it. I will be in that number. I want to be in that number. I'm going to be in that number. Amen. I'm going to run on and see what the end going to be, like the old school station said. See, because my parents were so much older, you know, I grew up around Old Testament, and I remember all these sayings the Old Testament says, you say. I'm going to run on and see. Moses said, I'm going to run on and see what the end going to be. I don't know where they run on and see what the end going to be. End of what? What is she talking about? Yeah, I know what she's talking about, what that sister was saying, or what that deacon was saying. You want to run on and see what the end going to be. I want to be in that number. I remember the old deacons used to have said, I want to be in that number. That John saw. John said, I saw a number that no man can. John saw so many people. In other words, see, when he said that no man can number, he's saying that you don't have a computer or a calculator. John said that if you was to count one by one by hand, at some point you're going to lose count. John said that I saw them that no man can number. So many angels, so many saints, you lose count. You're like, wait a minute, was that 1.2 billion 500 million, 300,000, you lose count. John said, I saw a number, but that is so amazing. That no man, can you imagine what that sky going to look like when Christ opened up and all the saints going to be in the sky? Lord have mercy. You can miss it if you want to. Amen. I'm going to be in that number. Lord have mercy. But God has prepared something for us. That love him, but you got to love him. You got to be obedient. Amen. You got to do his will. You can't just be out just doing what you want to do out here cutting up, right? Amen. But he's got something so great for us. Now watch this, okay? Here it is. Amen. Thank the wife, amen, for hooking me up. Amen. She said, let me help my sweetheart. She said, here's the chapter and verse. John the 14th chapter. Amen. I go to prepare a place. John the 14th, chapter, watch this. Verse 1 says, let not your what heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. I don't see anywhere in that verse where he said, if you live right and you work and do this and do that. I tell you all the time, to get into heaven ain't about work. You can be the greatest person on this earth morally and all this stuff, and you'll still go right to hell. Salvation is about what you believe. You must believe in the Son. You must believe that what? Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thy heart that God had raised Christ from the dead, the Bible says thou shalt be saved, and that's it. I've had people try to add to that. Well, brother, no, there ain't no but. It ain't the scripture doesn't say but. It ain't what that scripture say after that. There's a period after that. It ain't what it says. It says, for confession is made with the mouth. So there ain't no but after that. You can't go to adding up stuff. Don't go make up your Bible. See, people want to write their terms in the Bible as to how you get into heaven, and they've caused so many souls to be lost from doing that. You can't make up stuff in the Bible and add your Bible. Oh, yeah, brother, you got to have faith, but you got to have the works too. But see, it didn't say that nowhere in the plan of salvation. Anything about works. See, you added that. See, when he was talking about faith without works is dead, he was talking about something. He wasn't talking about just salvation. And we understand that faith without works is dead, but it does say faith first. Amen? That's why I remember when I was a kid, I went to a church called Faith First Baptist Church. You have to have faith first. Then once you have the faith, the belief, you're right. The works do come next. That's where the works come after the faith. But you got to believe first before you can even get into the kingdom. And once you get into the kingdom, once you believe, the Holy Spirit will hit you so fast, faster than you can blink. The Holy Spirit is in you. And then the works come. When nobody is excluded works, and nobody says that you have to be a more righteous person. Nobody says that you didn't have to be. But we're simply saying to be saved, to get into the kingdom of God, all you got to do is believe. That's why I say, let not your heart be troubled. I sleep good at night knowing that I'm where I'm going to be. If I don't wake up the next day, I already know I'm going to be. My soul going to be sleeping like a baby before God. Just sleeping. You see them babies, how beautiful and pretty they are, so soft and pretty they are, just so cute, and you just want to kiss them and hug them and rock them. Your soul going to be right before God in comfort, just sleeping, until Christ come back to get to church. It said, let not your heart be troubled, for ye, it said, ye believe in God, believe also in me. It said, in my Father's house, here we go, or what? Many mansions. Remember we talked about that number that John saw? If it were not so, I would have what? Told you. Basically, Christ said, if it wasn't true, I wouldn't even told you. Basically, Christ said, I'm not going to lie to you. He says, I go to prepare what? There it is again. I go to prepare a place for you. Remember I told you that Paul said it was written? Paul didn't make that up. Paul got it from Christ because it came out of his written. Paul said, I got it from somewhere. He got it from Christ. Christ said it. He said, I go to prepare you. For who? For us that love him. You mean you got to, if I pass away and leave this world in the next hour or the next day, the next month, the next year, whatever, whenever, you got something for me after I leave? Yes. You will, as I said, you will go somewhere where you can bet you your best dollar, your best dollar, your crispiest dollar that you got. I got a crispy dollar that ain't, it's just brand new. I just did it. I just went to the bank and said, I want a nice crispy dollar, and I got it right now. I can bet my best dollar. Amen. When you leave this world, you're going to go somewhere. And you're going to either go to heaven, are you going to go to hell? And after hell, what does the Bible say? They will go to what? The lake of fire. That's not a joke. That's not a laughing matter. That's something serious. That's why we preach the word that we preach. We love you. We see people living a certain type of lifestyle, but we preach the way we do because we love you. We don't want you to be lost. He said, I go to prepare a place for you. Watch what he said in verse 3, number 10. He said, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will what? Here it is. This is what we call the rapture, the gathering together of the saints. He said, I will what? Come again. He told his disciples that. Who was Christ talking to? He was talking to the Old Testament saints. He was talking to the New Testament saints. I will come again. In other words, he made a promise. That's a promise. If I tell my wife or my kids I'm coming back, that's a promise. I'm coming back. When? I don't know when, but I'm coming back. Just be ready for when I come back to get you. He said, I will come again and what? Receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. It's not a mystery. It's not hidden from us. It's because you got so many people so focused on getting money, they're not teaching the word. They're not saving souls. He just told you that the way ye know, it's not a secret. It ain't hidden from us. It's in plain sight, right in front of our face, the greatest book ever written. That's why the Bible sells so many books every year. It outsells every book every single year. This is why. All these other religious books came, none of them, and what's so crazy about it, they have the nerve to take the Bible. They know it's the greatest book ever written. And then people want to question the Bible, but why is it the best-selling book, the number one selling book in the world, consistently, year in and year out? You got people of false religions using the quoting scriptures out of the Bible. You got people taking quotes and rewriting. I said, man, they got that from the Bible. Who do they think they're fooling? Christ is the Word. He is the Logos. He is the mind of God. He has always existed from eternity. This is why it's the greatest book that was ever written. That's why they try to use the Bible and try to twist it and do all this stuff for their own gain. The Bible said that there's a place for those type of individuals. Amen. We're talking about heaven today. We're talking about today's subject is, what's the subject? The subject is word of truth. Time is up. Heaven or hell, kafah. But today we just focusing on heaven. The Holy Spirit touched me today when I was starting. I said, you know what? You're right. Let's talk about heaven today. Let's talk about the glory of God. What God's going to be, the throne. Enoch describes God's throne as so beautiful when he saw it. He's like, man, what is this thing made of? He was checking out the throne. Like, this is God's throne. God's throne will probably give you chills. Now, I don't know if God was on the throne. I didn't know God got up from the throne. I thought that was funny when he said he saw God. Like, where is God at then? Does he have to get up from the throne? You know, just a little humor. I kind of like, does he actually get up from the throne? It's kind of funny. You know, he's a spirit. You know, he's not like us. We got to get up. We got to go to the bathroom. We got to get something to eat. We got to get sleep. We got to be in time. He's God. He ain't got the move. But that's pretty neat if he does. Like, well, where did God go? That'd be pretty neat if he sitting in front of the throne praising. You look at him like, where did God? We just praising him. We just going in. Just praising him. Like, really? Where did that? But, you know, you think about these things. You know, he was describing the beauty of God. I bet his throbbers of heaven itself would just give you chills. Don't you want to go? Be honest with yourself. Don't you want to be there? And not just there for a day, a week, a month, a year, a decade, a century, but you're going to be there for all eternity. And it will never grow old. You will walk and be, man, heaven's going to be so huge. Look at the universe. Look how huge the universe is. I just gave an example of how big the universe is. There are stars bigger than our universe. And there are stars that are so big that make them stars like a speck. So can you imagine? We can't even imagine what God is. I said, what type of God is this that we serve that he makes universes and galaxies and just continually grow? You will never get tired of heaven. Heaven is so huge, it's going to take more than eternity. You'll just walk around for all eternity. It'll probably just never be never ending. And it will be. It'll be never ending. You'd be like, man, when I heard a trillion years ago, you'd be walking around heaven like, man, look for this part of heaven. When I heard a trillion years ago, man, you know what's amazing? Is me and my friend talk, and we say, man, you remember 30 years ago? Oh, that's a shock to me to actually hear myself say, man, you remember 20 years ago? I'm like, one time we talked, I said, wow. Did I just actually say 30 years ago? We are aging. You know, that's something you begin to say 30 years ago, and you was an adult 30 years ago. Man, you remember 30 years ago we did this? Wow. Can you imagine being in heaven for all eternity and say, man, you remember a trillion years ago? Man, you remember a billion years ago? Man, you remember 100,000? That's going to – and, you know, it ain't going to be no time. It's going to be so – time is not going to even exist. But you're going to be alive for so long, just living for all eternity, that your mind can't wrap. You just can't grasp that. No more waking up, have to go to work. No more have to listen to these silly bosses and these silly jobs and the silly policies and guidelines and think they know everything when they don't know nothing. I tell people all the time, these people are so smart. Why is the country in debt? Why are companies going debt? Why are companies steady getting sued? Why are companies steady going out of business? These people are not as intelligent as they like to make you think they are. God is the only most intelligent being there is, and I'd rather serve God than anything. People are tricked and they're fooled by Lucifer. Satan has fooled the world, just like he did Adam and Eve in the garden. Oh, you won't surely die. Well, wait a minute. Hold on. The contract says surely die. Define surely die. Now I have some questions for Satan in the garden. Wait a minute. Hold on. You said I won't surely die. What does surely die mean? So that means eventually I won't die today, but eventually I'm going to die. Brother, I ain't eating that fruit. I'm just saying. But see, people don't. They don't think. They just do these things and not knowing. They say, oh, sell your soul. I get to be a millionaire. What if you get $1 million a day and tomorrow you're dead? Well, what was that worth? That was worth your soul. You see, so many young people are selling their soul, dying, going to hell. For what? For a year? For a month with a joy? No. Man, please, I'm going to tell you right now, if it was possible, if Lucifer could come to me and say, man, look, you can have as much as you want, all that you want for 1 billion years, I wouldn't take it. You want to know why? Because I know once that 1 billion years is up, what's going to happen? Punishment. Now you're going to stay in a lake of fire for all eternity. So you can't compare 1 billion years to eternity. It's uncomparable. Eternity is so long that you forget the joy that you had for that 1 billion years. What is it worth? It's not worth anything. So let's look at some more scriptures. Amen. I want to share that with you. Glad I got that out. Amen. We're doing good on time. But I had to get that out, okay? Because we want to talk about heaven today. Because heaven puts a smile on your face. I know it puts a smile on my face. And I look for the return of Christ every single day. I think about Christ returning every day. And I've been doing so now for over a year. Just thinking about Christ, just come. What if he come back today? What am I going to be doing? What if he come back today? And we should live our lives every day as if Christ is going to come back. It don't matter if he don't come back in our lifetime. You should still live your life close to God as possible, because guess what? Sooner or later, he's going to come back. Whether you are in the grave or on this earth, he's going to come back. And you want to accumulate remember, you're going to live for all eternity, so you want to accumulate as many spiritual gifts as you possibly can. Why not? You go to work and work all them hours and try to make all the money as much as you can to do what? Pay bills and spend on nothing, still end up broke or barely have a few dimes in the bank. Keep it real. There's only so many wealthy people on earth. That by far the poor and the people who don't have outnumber the people who do have by far. There's only a handful of billionaires, not even that number. I think this is like maybe 2,000 billionaires on the planet. That's not a lot. When there's 7 billion people, you got 2,000 billionaires on the planet. That's nothing. So the point that I'm making is we work hard for what? To pay to make somebody else rich. That's what we're doing it for, to make somebody else rich, to make them few billionaires rich. Why not work hard in this life for God? Only what you do for Christ, your life. Why not work hard for God and for Christ and the Holy Spirit to accumulate more than what you can receive in this life for all eternity? Man, that is so beautiful. Man, that's such a beautiful thought. That's why I said, man, you know what? I don't worry about this life. I stopped worrying about this life a long time ago. I said, you know what? If certain things happen, they do. If they don't, they don't. I know that I got salvation. And I can sit and tell you right now, boy, you're not a loser by far when you got salvation. You are definitely not a loser. I don't care if you're broke, homeless, struggling, no money in the bank, can't pay your bills, bad credit. I do not care. This is why I tell you, God make things simple. God said, I don't care about none of that. That's man. That's Lucifer's system. That's the Babylonian system. That's Lucifer's junk. God said, I don't care about that. All I want you to do is accept my son. Accept Christ as your Savior today. He said, all these things I will add unto you. I will give all this to you. This little junk, people, this little car, people think they got something. They got a $100,000 car, $1 million car. You really think you got something? You don't. Because guess what? If you die today, where that car at? Your body's at the morgue. You're going to the hospital. They're going to do an autopsy on you. They're going to throw you in the bag. They're going to take you down to the morgue. The morgue going to prepare you up, and within a week, you're in the ground. You ain't got nothing. If you didn't serve God, you sure ain't got nothing. Now you know where you're going. But if you serve Christ, if you serve the Almighty God, the one and only, there's only one God. Only folks, see, folks are playing games. Folks are just falling into this stuff. Oh, well, the Bible says many different things. Different people. No, it does not. No, it does not. I heard that foolishness. I've been hearing that foolishness. Well, the Bible says, where does it say in the Bible? How can you get one sentence that says one thing and all of a sudden you twist it to mean different things? Now, can you interpret one scripture many different ways, but it still says the same thing? Yes, you can. I know for a fact that you can, because when I was in seminary school, we had an assignment like that. the teacher gave us a scripture, and we had to interpret that one scripture 20 different ways, but that scripture had to say the same exact thing. And I got an A on that paper. And that's not boasting or bragging, that's just the truth. Yes, the scripture says many different things, but it still has to say the same thing, has to come to the exact same conclusion. It cannot differ. It cannot say something different. That's not what God is saying. In other words, what he was trying to get us to do and put our mind in the thought process of, if you had 20 different people to read the scripture, this is how we teach. This is how we learn. This is how we get people to learn the Bible. If you're teaching, okay, Brother Tim, what does this scripture say? This scripture says this. Good, Tim. Brother Jackson, what does this scripture say? The scripture says this. Good, Brother Jackson. They both said the same thing. They just said it different. That's what the scripture, that's yes, that's possible, yes. But when you just go to just twisting the Bible, say, wait a minute, that is not what the scripture is saying. You see, you got people that are twisting the Bible. And you have to try the spirits by the spirits. And I tell you all the time, you watch people for 30 days, they'll tell you, they'll show you, they got to tell you, they'll show you exactly who they are. When I tell people, I tell my kids, date people for 30 days, they'll show you who they are. And they'll tell you right there, I don't care how fine and sexy they are, you better leave that fine and sexy stuff alone. If you just being with somebody because they fine and sexy, that's why so much stuff happens to people because somebody fine and sexy. No, I want to know where your mental at, where your mind at. Are we equally yoked? You better go find you somebody that's not so fine and sexy if that's the case, because I'll tell you right now, there's some fine and sexy cuckoos out there. I'm just going to be real with you. And so you got to make sure that the person that you're lining up with, hey, we on the same page? No, you on page 300, I'm on page 157. No, we can't be together. Okay? So we want to make sure that we're rightly dividing the word. And don't let people out here make up stuff, because there are a lot of different religions that have taken the Bible and twisted it, and they making it they got their own agenda. I tell you, people show you who they are in 30 days. And if they're not operating with the Holy Spirit and in the truth and in love of God, the Most High God, Yahweh, you better leave them alone. I don't waste my time with people no more. I said, okay. I just walk off. I don't have time. Time is short, and time is mine. I'm not wasting my time. You can waste yours all you want, but I'm not wasting mine. I tell people, I've done my debates and arguments. My first 3 years of salvation, the Holy Spirit said, do no more. Cast not the pearls among the swine. You don't waste your time, Tim. And I can tell you right now from talking to people, amen, if people have been studying the word, if they ain't been studying the word, why waste your time? I don't need to be entertained. I can watch TV or play a video game to be entertained. I don't need nobody to entertain me. We are preparing people for the return of Christ. It's time for people to start sharing this news. This good news for us. The next exodus is going to be to heaven. This is great news for us. See, people out here on street corners, they ever talking about this and that. Okay, well, that's the law. We're no longer under the law. We're under grace. I want to know about love. I want to know about peace. I want to know about joy, the fruits of the Spirit. See, if they ain't talking about stuff like that, you can quote all the Bible scriptures. I just quote Bible scriptures and still can quote some Bible scriptures. I don't really get into that anymore. I said, because if I need to look at the scripture, I know where to find it. In fact, Google has made it easy. Some of us have gotten lazy. We just use Google. You know, we used to memorize stuff and put it in our notes and write it down. I said, well, it takes too long for me to go find my notes. Let me just Google it real quick. I know where it's at. I know what it says. I know what it means. That's the most important thing. But we don't want to waste our time, you know, living the law. The law is passed. We're in grace. And what we want to teach is salvation by the blood of Jesus Christ, or Yahshua, the blood of Yahshua, okay, the cross, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, salvation, once saved, always saved, and the return of Christ. We're supposed to be looking for Christ. We're supposed to be watching for Christ. That's what we're teaching now. That's where we're at now. I don't really get into things with people about, oh, what was Moses and the laws and the commandments. okay? You do know that Christ said, on these two laws hang all the laws and the prophets. People come talking about what the prophets, and he said, hang all the laws and prophets. He said, focus on love. See, Christ made it simple. Christ said, man, y'all doing too much. Christ said, y'all making me tired. Christ said, look, on these two laws, love the Father, love God all your heart, the might, the soul, and love your neighbors. I love them. Christ said, look, see these two right here? These two laws, one and two, the first commandment, second commandment. Take all these other laws and those prophets, all those scrolls and writings, take all that and just hang it on it. Just do what these first two do, and you'll fulfill all that other stuff. But don't you love God? I do. God has made it so simple. People try to complicate. People try to come with all these test questions, and I know more Bible than you. I know more Bible. I memorize more Bible. I know the Ten Commandments. I heard some brothers say, "So you don't know all the Ten Commandments?" I know where to find them. I don't know them verbatim. I don't know them at all. I don't need to know all that. What does that have to do with saving my soul? And just because you know all the Ten Commandments and know them at all, don't mean you're going to heaven. You don't need to know that. This is what Christ dealt with. See, people don't really study the Bible. What you need to know, people don't focus on that. See, that stuff was thousands of years ago. Yeah, that was cool thousands of years ago because they was under the law. But, yeah, you need to know this. You need to not do this, not do that, do this, do that. We're under grace. What you need to focus on, because people, they've gotten so much into the order of and the law that they forgot how to love. And that's the problem with people now. People are so policy and guidelines that they've forgotten how to love. Kind of remind me of some of these companies out here. They made so much money, so much billions and trillions of dollars that they forgot how to treat customers. They're so concerned about doing stuff so fast and quick and making a dollar all the money and this and that and this. Well, what about taking care of people? What about the simplicity? The simplicity is what gets you far. When you try to be all complicated and do all this extra stuff, that's when you lose it. Doing too much. We want you to be prepared, amen, to receive Christ as he will be to receive you. Because that's what he says in his word. He said, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Hey, I don't know about you, but I'm ready for it. Yeah, life is good. I enjoy things on this earth just like everybody else. I love things and like things on this earth just like everybody else. But I love God even more, and I know that what he has for me is going to be far more greater in heaven and in eternity than what's on this planet. That's what I can't wait for. That's the time I can't wait. That's the living I can't wait for. Eternity, to get the new body, the new mind, the new heart. Everything is brand new. To love my brothers and sisters in Christ for all eternity. To laugh and to be with one another and to joy and to feast and to fellowship for all eternity. Do you gotta deal with all this stress and sickness and pain and pandemic and sickness over here and virus over here? The government's doing that. The devil's doing that. Lucifer's doing that. Doing all this stuff. We don't have to worry about that stuff no more. Okay? So we will have a part three next week, apparently. But I have to interject heaven, because heaven is the first part of heaven or hell and the lake of fire. So I have to talk about heaven. I really did. I'm going to be talking about heaven even more. I'm going to do some more study and research on heaven, because heaven is beautiful. You can look up at the sky and tell heaven is beautiful. But the clouds is just something that just mystifies me. I love to look at the clouds. I love to look at the sky. It's so beautiful to me. This earth that God has placed us on is so beautiful. I hate that man has messed it up and corrupted. Lucifer has messed it up. Satan has messed it up. The fallen angels, the demons, they have messed up a lot of things. People have torn down this earth. And now you see things like lavas destroying cities, floods are destroying cities, fires are running people out of their home, destroying cities. You know, there's so much disaster and pain and hurt. You know, the Bible talks about this where it before the tribulation happens, the earth is going to be is going to travail, just like a woman giving childbirth. And I remember when my wife was pregnant, boy, she almost broke my thumb one time. And I messed around, tried to comfort her, grab her hand. She was like, wait a minute, hold on now. You know, women take stuff like that out on you. So you got, it's your fault I'm here, you know. So, okay, baby, I'm sorry. But the point I'm making is that, you know, you look at women when they go through childbirth, man, I'll be thanking God every day. Lord, I'm glad you made me a man. I'm just going to be real with you. Women go through a lot. And that childbirth is nothing nice. You know, they go through a lot. The earth right now is travailing. You know what happens next. So, you know, we think about these things that's happening. And I really, really believe anytime soon, anytime, very, very soon. Because once that sky roll back, that lightning crack like a whip across the sky, and that sky opens up like a scroll, and Christ comes down, and then the dead in Christ is going to rise first. The saints will he bring with him. Those of us that are alive and remain, man, that's going to be a great sight to see. You will get a crown just for loving his appearance. How neat is that? You're going to love his appearance. If you got the Spirit of God in you, you're going to automatically. Of course you're going to love his appearance. You're going to like, there he is. See, people think that Christ coming back will be something to be afraid. No, not for us. It's for some of the unbelievers to be a friend. Not for us. We're going to be smiling from ear to ear. We're going to be grinning and say, yep, there he is. We've been waiting on you. Where have you been? Man, we are excited for Christ to come back. You think God, he just said, I go to prepare for you, a place for you. And he said, well, I will come again and receive you unto myself. There where I am, there ye may be also. Christ wants you to be with him as much as you want to be with him. It's just like a mother want to be with a child and a child want to be with what? Their mother. It's the same connection. I see kids running to mom. They see the mom running to kids. It's just so cute and so beautiful to see them. My wife do this. And sometimes, you know, we kind of get a little jealous. We see it like whatever. But, you know, it's so cute to see the mom and kid connect like that, right? Look, that's how it is going to be for us in Christ. He's going to be excited to see us. We're going to be excited to see him. See, people don't preach this stuff in church. They make it seem like it's like when Christ come back, well, you better make sure you're right. Like I need to be hiding on a rock or a tree when it's cross God. No. When that's the event, then you're probably running outside to see it, definitely. Here I am. You're probably like, hey. No, he's going to be excited to come and get you as much as you're going to be excited to go with him. That's how it is. Man, this thing of faith and belief and being a believer, and if you take the title of a Christian, that's fine. I believe, hey, this is a good time. This is excitement. It's good to be a believer. There can be no bad that comes to being a believer. That's why I said there is therefore now no condemnation. He's not going to condemn you. He said, I died for that. To bring up what you did last night for, I died for that. That's what he is, the propitiation for our sins. He died for our sins. The lamb that was slain to take away what? The sins of the I took away the sins of the world, if you believe in me. Now, those that don't believe, the sin, the stain still remains. They got a stain on their soul. Our garments have been washed in the blood of the lamb. No more stains. No, sir. We don't have to worry about that. He has saved our souls. He has went to the cross, hung, bled, and died. And, man, I think the worst thing was just the fact that he was innocent. That's what makes the cross so powerful. He was innocent. And there's nothing like an innocent man being convicted. Or die. We hear about things like that all the time. You know, he was innocent. But y'all already killed him. Y'all didn't put him in the electric chair. You didn't put him in the gas. Why are we talking about this? The man was innocent, yeah, but you already murdered him. And so, you know, everybody's going to see him. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. That's him. Even those that, what, pierce them. That's going to be bad. You know how bad? I think it's going to be even worse for them when they see him. It's like, wow, we messed up big time. I mean, that's like the biggest mess ups of all mess ups in the history of mankind. You know, you got mess ups that you do where maybe you work on a job and you messed up something. Or, you know, you mess up at home or in your life or your marriage or something, you messed up. That is like, I know it kind of comes off comical, but I'm being truthful. That's like one of the biggest mess ups in the history of mankind. Is that, wow, y'all sent him to the cross? Ooh-wee, I don't want to be y'all. Y'all sent him to die on the cross. Y'all pierced him and y'all beat him on the back and then beat him up and just did all spit on him. Ooh, that's going to be bad. You know, you gave the order for them to hang Christ. Choices. You have a choice to do what's right. And let me tell you something. God put something in every, the Bible says he put something in every one of us. We have it to know right from wrong, to do good or evil. It's something that God gave us. He said, you recognize. So before that kid do something wrong, steal or rob, he knows there's a conscience that God puts in every single last human being that says, you know what, you should not do that. And I've been hearing that since I was a kid. I remember one time I'm finna get shut down when I was 5 years old. I want these marbles so bad. And my mom was in the store, and I said, I want these marbles. You know, black mothers do. If you don't put the marbles down, I want these marbles. She turns around, I'm getting these marbles. I don't know where I put them. I put them in my jacket, my pants. I don't know where I put them. She didn't know I had the marbles. Man, we got to the house. I whipped out the marbles in front of her. I don't know what the thing like, I got these marbles now. Well, I took out the marbles from her. She like almost lost it. I know you didn't take the marbles from the store. I didn't get a whooping. And that was a strange thing. Cause usually, you know, mama would tear you up or something like that. And that was strange. She didn't whip me. So I was like, you didn't whip me for that? But I don't know if it was just some type of lesson or what. But she took me and the marbles back to the store. Gave to the thing. He was like, you know, he had the people watching the department say, hey, my son, he took these marbles. We're just bringing them back. You know, back then, people didn't cut up and act like, oh, go call the cop. He said, ma'am, thank you. Went back on the store, took the marble store, we drove home. She told me, don't you ever do that again. You know, she scolded me in that manner, but I didn't get a whooping. And ever since then, I've been blessed not to ever take anything that didn't belong to me ever again in my life, even to this day. And that's a blessed thing. But you think about life and the choices that we make. Again, there's something on the inside of us that directs us and says, Tim, you should not do that. Or, yes, you should do this. And this is a choice right now for you to make, Romans 10 and 9. You know, it's your choice to get saved. There's a lot of people say, I'll wait the next moment, the next day, next hour, they're dead and gone. And that chance is gone forever. So don't let that be you. Family, it looks like that's it. Family, I'm royalty. You are royalty. Until next time, be blessed. We'll see you next week. I love you guys. Take care. We'll continue part 3 of Word of Truth. Time is up. Heaven or hell, and the lake of fire, you choose. Be blessed. I love you, family. Good night. Take care and have a wonderful week.